It's that most musical time of year when you've got a bunch of performances all around town. Opening nights, Tallahassee Community Chorus. We'll have folks from both of those groups talking with us. Chris Hecox is here in the first hour. Jan Smith, Randall Webster with us in the second hour. Rick Miner's going to tell us about America's Second Harvest at the Big Bend. And Miriam Dady's got another guest in the business spotlight, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts. With their cars, we're number one by far. Bed liners, bed caps, toys to throw your money at. Car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms. Detail and diamond play, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kits for your mud needs. Mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Welcome again, my friend. We are delighted to have you with us as we continue in our pursuit of the many wonderful things that make Tallahassee such a special place. And I know I'm gushing again. It's what I do. So, hey. And it gets worse going into the holidays now, you know, because on most days I have the temperament of a four-year-old. I mean, and it's just, I mean, it is what it is. But when we get into Thanksgiving and Christmas and lights and music, and I mean, come on. Yeah, they won't be getting a whole lot of work out of me over the next several weeks, I can tell you. I just get kind of goofy-er. And we, it doesn't help when you've got people like Jan Smith and Randall Webster here. They're going to be with us in the second hour. Now, these folks are bringing us a performance along with about 300 other folks and Dr. Andre Thomas tomorrow afternoon, Ruby Diamond Auditorium at 4 o'clock, their performance of O Fortuna. Not too late to get tickets, by the way. Get them online or give them a call or just show up. You can get them there at the door. And we're going to learn from Jan what's been going on and what is in store for us with this fantastic performance tomorrow afternoon. They've got a full season planned, but we'll focus on this performance. But you're going to learn a lot about its history, its mission, vision, the work that Andre Thomas, Dr. Thomas, has done in all of his years guiding and directing, inspiring and creating with these fine people. Many of them, like Jan, have been there for a while. I mean, they just, this is their thing. But you're going to find out, too, that there's an opportunity for you to be a part of it if you choose to. And you don't have to be the world's greatest singer. In fact, as long as you can kind of carry a tune somewhere in your pocket, they'll help you. And you'll have a blast. I mean, and I speak from personal experience in years, in those years, I should say, when I had opportunity to sing with the chorus. It was fantastic. Regrettably, my life has become a bit more complicated with different activities. But I look forward to that time when I could make my way back. And once again, enjoy this fantastic organization, Tallahassee Community Chorus. And in the first hour, since we're talking all things musical here in Tallahassee, and there's a bunch of it, It's that time when we want to look in the direction of opening nights. So I've got Chris Hecox with me coming up shortly. Chris is going to talk about their season of performances. And what you're going to hear, I think, in both of these segments or both of these portions of our show today is an acknowledgement and a underscoring of the contribution that the performing arts bring to any community, and particularly this community. The contribution of cultural integration, I think, would be a good way of putting it, a kind of connectedness that comes about as we all participate in either as performers, perhaps participants in some fashion. Maybe we're volunteering our time or whatever. But certainly as those who are blessed with being in the audiences of these performances, to be among those who benefit from the performance. And as an audience member, finding yourself presented with world-class talent, world-class performances, it is an opportunity for us to come together in ways that are so nonpartisan, non-sectarian, are inclusive, and all of the things that we yearn for during a season of political wranglings when we start to question whether or not there is any thread left that can hold us together. Well, here comes Community Chorus, Tallahassee Community Chorus. Here comes Opening Nights. And it's a good thing. It is, in fact, the thing that we can easily celebrate at any time of year, but especially this time of year, when perhaps our thoughts are turned toward giving more generously to one another, participating in things like Help Christmas Connection. That's afoot, you know. We've done this for now 17 years. We call it Help Us Help Christmas Connection. And you're going to see our advertising all around Tallahassee as a simple reminder that this organization, Christmas Connection, works pretty hard to bring the joy of Christmas to families in need, our neighbors, the kids who get toys and clothing and food, the families who are encouraged with hope that Christmas isn't just a day, that it's really a perspective. It's a way of life that can extend throughout the year. But especially at this time of year when we can say, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, because we are bringing to you a gift that has no strings attached. It's not quid pro quo. It's our way of saying we see you, we love you, we care for you, you're a part of this community. Folks, if we're doing that, especially when we're at the shopping malls or the stores and tipping our hat to one another, greeting each other with a bit of courtesy, that's a good thing. Well, there's a lot of other good things going on around town, and I've got Andrew Rybick standing by with what you'll be doing this week. So, Andrew, tell us what you got.
Thanks, Brian. With Thanksgiving on the horizon, all I can think about is my mother's home cooking, and I'm sure most of you have your sights set on what's going to be on the table this Thursday. I want y'all to be aware of the Brickyard Farmers Market at the center of Tallahassee. This occurs every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. They offer a wide array of produce that you can indulge in on a normal basis, but with Thanksgiving being a couple days away, I figure what better time to eat like the pilgrims did. They offer seasonal, local fruits and veggies such as melons, peaches, blackberries, tomatoes, squash, zucchini, corn, potatoes, red and sweet, you name it. They also have fresh baked goods, cut herbs, flowers, and boiled peanuts. If you're looking for a way to freshen up your Thanksgiving feast this time around, give the Brickyard Farmers Market at the center of Tallahassee a try. Again, every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Now, back to my mother's home cooking. Not only does she make a mean Thanksgiving dinner, she also knows what to do with all the leftovers. I've always been a fan of Turkey Day leftovers because you can reinvent your traditional Thanksgiving meal however you'd like. To provide you with some inspiration, the Kitchen Able Cooking School, located at 1635 North Monroe Street, is hosting their Turkeytopia cooking class. The menu will include lessons on how to make turkey noodle soup, turkey lentil soup with kale, and turkey vegetable soup. They will also show you how to make turkey pate that is perfect for sandwiches and appetizers. And of course, what turkey meal would be complete without some pecan pie? This class costs $40, and with that you get a recipe packet for all the meals cooked in the class, and a full meal from all the dishes cooked as well. Chilled water and coffee is available, but guests are welcome to bring their own beverages from home if you wish. I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I hope that you're able to spend time with the ones that you love. And that's what you'll be doing this week for Tallahassee Talks. I'm Andrew Rybeck.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for today's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development.
Hello, my name is Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I want everybody to tuck their napkin under their chin and get their fork and knife ready, because I have Stephanie Camp here with me from Carrabba's, and she's specifically in charge of catering for Carrabba's. Stephanie, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I love Carrabba's. I might as well, you know, tell you right up front. It's the, what is the chicken, Brian?
Oh, yes. Oh, that's a favorite.
Wow. Me and everybody else loves that. But I've never used Carrabba's as catering. It just has never come to my mind. So I'm glad you're here so we can talk a little bit about that. Before the mics got turned on, you were mentioning some of the holiday specials that are coming up, and I want to get those out there right away. So tell me what holiday specials people can purchase.
Oh, absolutely. We have a lot going on. We are doing a early holiday ordering special for any events that you might have. Now, any $250, and every $250 that you spend in catering, you get $50 in a bounce back coupon that you can spend towards another catering order. You can give it to a friend or a colleague.
Sweet.
You can use that as a gift if you're like.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
We also have November 25th. On Black Friday through November 28th, we are offering a $50 gift card that you will receive for every $50 that you spend in gift card. I know.
Get
it's a great
out.
Deal. Yes, and those will be given to you in increments of $10, so you can spread them out how you choose.
Okay, so I give you $50. You give me $50 in food, and you give me $50 credit.
Yes, so you, yes.
Come on.
You spend $50 for a gift card, and you will get $50 back in credit.
Okay,
to get
so I know what I'm doing for Black Friday.
Yeah, I know. It sounds too good to be true, but it is. We also have, I believe until the middle of February, we're offering for every $50 that you get in gift cards, you will get a $10 bonus card that you can spend. So there is a very... That small window.
It pays to be generous.
Oh, yes, it does.
Well, good. Okay, so while I'm working out my budget, I definitely am going to be buying a lot of people Carrabba's this season. But let's talk a little bit about how Carrabba's contributes to our community as a whole? How do you guys make an impact on Tallahassee?
Well, we do a lot of charitable work, and a lot of people don't know that, so I'm glad you asked that question. We have done what we call the Carrabba's Cares fundraiser. We've done that with a lot of the Leon County schools. We've done it with Childs, DeSoto. Basically, we provide you with the material that you would need to kind of market that. And we do these family bundles that you can order through Carside. They're very convenient. A lot of moms don't feel like going home and cooking and cleaning. And it's, you know, it's all inclusive. You get the plates, plasticware, all that stuff in a box, and you get it for a great price. And 10% of those proceeds go back to the school.
So how does that work? Is that like a share night?
No, it is not just a share night. We have done, for those two schools, we've done a month. So it's not just a small
10% for a month. And people have to mention the school or mention the charity. Is that the way it works?
When yes, they order? Absolutely. You would just... You would mention the school whenever you show up to pick up your order, and you know that's we validate that ticket and count it all up, and hopefully write that school a large check that they can use to spend towards the children.
Okay, you don't have to tell me how much you've raised for the schools, but is it substantial?
If you know what, if when they communicate and we get the word out, it's definitely very profitable.
So they just let the parents know, and the parents let their friends know, and anybody who orders within that month and mentions whatever that charity is, they're going to get a portion of the proceeds.
Oh yes, it definitely adds up. You got people pouring in.
That's super nice.
To get them some Carrabba's for dinner. So yes, the 10% does add up.
What are your two questions, really. What are your typical client for catering, number one? And number two, what's your most unusual catering kind of circumstance there at Carrabba's?
Our most common that I deal with is a lot of luncheons in the medical industry and health industry. We do a lot of pharmaceutical representatives that order for their clients. I work mostly with them.
Yeah, Carrabba's would open some doors, right?
Oh, yes.
You arrive with some sweet-smelling Carrabba's, and the doors are going to swing open.
Oh, I know. No one. That's the great thing about my job. No one's disappointed to see me when I walk through the doors.
They just tell all those people with donuts to wait in the lobby, you know, because...
yeah. That's right. I'm always first in. People are opening doors for me all the time. I wouldn't say that I actually have an unusual customer. I would say this, though. There's some people that have ordered for others, which I think is just fantastic, that people are really, they're thinking about others. And I've actually have a gentleman that's ordering food for his wife and her friends at a getaway.
Aww.
And I thought it was just the sweetest thing. So, you know, you have every aspect of a clientele and customers that are ordering from you. You know, we also do, you know, weddings and rehearsal dinners. And there's just, we don't stop at just the pharmaceutical representatives. We do it all.
I like that idea of pay it forward kind of gifting. If your neighbor has, you know, just been ill or something, or had a baby, and you just call up Carrabba's and get the meal taken care of for them. I think that's a great idea.
It is. You wouldn't believe the smile it puts on people's faces when, you know, they know that somebody else is thinking of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And between now and, gosh, we've got Thanksgiving is right here on top of us. Then we've got Christmas. Then we've got New Year's. There are a lot of opportunities to really be generous. Now that we know, okay, I already know how I'm going to purchase, because between the 25th and the 28th, I'm going to spend every penny I have to get some Carrabba's gift cards. But how do I reach out to you?
Well, I have a Facebook page called Carrabba's Catering Tallahassee that has my phone number on it. It's very easy. I also have a LinkedIn page that you can reach me at. It's Stephanie Camp, and it has Carrabba's Catering as my job title. You can reach me there. You can email me at carrabbascatering6021@yahoo.com. It's very easy. I don't require you to come in and hunt me down.
Okay, so you said the phone number's easy. Let's spit that out. What is it?
It is 850-566-6661.
Okay. That's if you can remember sixes, you can get there.
Oh,
and the number one at the end. Stephanie, I appreciate you coming today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Marion.
So for Tallahassee Business Spotlight, this is Miriam Dady. Have a great one.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In 1921, Florida State University presented what was titled the Women Artist Series. And in doing so, they kicked off this illustrious history of live performances and in attracting world-class talent. The Artist Series, later and now known as Opening Nights, has been the showcase for not just Florida State University, but for Tallahassee, for the region. And once again, we have the opportunity to be a part of some of the most inspiring, entertaining performances that otherwise would not be available to us. We'd be traveling around the world or around the country to enjoy such talent, such performance. And so here we are again, folks, and we are delighted to have with us the executive director for Opening Nights, Mr. Chris Hecox. How are you, Chris?
Doing well. Good morning.
Good morning. And I always thought of you as a sort of late night kind of guy. So here you are in the daylight hours.
I know. It depends. I guess I'm more of a late night guy when I'm out of Tallahassee, I think, when I'm seeing shows and I'm scouting and doing all of that. I think when I'm here, I'm Mr. 8 to 5.
You adapt.
I do adapt.
So with that, there's a great deal of keen interest right now, I'm sure, in that you have some fantastic performances coming up in the week ahead. Tell us what's on your list.
Yeah, we're really excited. We have a few more shows left before the fall portion of our series is complete. We have the 13-year-old Fijian jazz prodigy Joey Alexander coming to Tallahassee on Tuesday, the 21st of November. We're very excited to bring him here to perform for our audiences for the first time. This is only his second performance ever in the state of Florida and his only performance in North Florida. So we're really excited to bring him and his jazz trio here. They're also going to do a open kind of little mini performance and question and answer session during the day. So go to our website, openingnights.fsu.edu, and check out the schedule on that. We're very excited that we're going to be able to provide that free opportunity for our community.
Joey Alexander, how old is this guy?
He's 13 years old.
Wow.
He started playing piano and he was a very, very wee child in Fiji. The parents saw the talent and brought him over to the States, and Wynton Marsalis, the jazz impresario of our nation, if not the world, kind of discovered him and said, you know, you guys need to move over here and let him develop his talents. This is one special kid.
Self-taught.
Goodness. Really is. I mean, he had piano teachers teaching him technique and such, but he's a self-taught jazz musician, and he is very gifted. I was able to see him live a number of times and saw him again this summer at the Newport Jazz Festival and met the family. And one of my dear friends in the business is his drummer, and he's the real deal. And so I think that there is a little bit of novelty sometimes in the general public to see a child prodigy. But I will have to say, if you go and see him play and close your eyes, you would not think this kid is 13 years old. He is very much wise and wise beyond his years.
Very aware. Yeah. Yeah. You've had a chance to actually sit and talk with this kid?
Or? Yeah, he's great, and his family is wonderful.
What kind of person is this who has this kind of ability? And is he like just a normal 13-year-old?
Yeah, I mean,
otherwise?
He's a normal 13-year-old kid that's excited about, you know, things that 13-year-old kids are excited about. It's just that, you know, he's serious about the music. I think, you know, individuals like this know that they've been given a gift. And there are those that have the temperament to be able to express that gift for the world. And he's one of those. And
what is that? Is that somebody who's, when you say temperament, somebody who is very studious, somebody who is rather quiet?
Yeah, I think it's like studious and quiet, but also like serious, but still has childlike qualities, which is great. It's not like mom and dad pushing him down the road. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's doing it for the right reasons.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And that's this coming Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Tuesday. Yeah. And then Wednesday, we're really excited to bring the national touring show Annie here. It's getting a great deal of buzz. Families are very excited. It's one of those things where when we were looking at the date, we thought, you know what? Be great to have this show here Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Mm.
So families that are coming into town to join other families and friends right before Thanksgiving have a wonderful opportunity to do something together. And so the buzz is really taken hold, and we're doing very, very well, but we could do better. And we really want everyone to come out and have a good time. And see an amazing performance of Annie with her family.
And this particular company that's performing, they have been, they're on tour currently.
Yeah, they're on tour.
For some time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They just started the fall tour of this one a few weeks ago. So this is kind of early in the run, but this is one of the top touring companies that's producing this show. So it's a first-rate quality, as you would see on Broadway show.
And I see that Gennaro is the choreographer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a real deal.
This is the real deal, folks. Yeah. Okay, so that's Wednesday.
Yeah, and then we have one more performance coming up in December. We have the holiday performance of The Hot Sardines, which is actually already sold out. But we're excited about bringing them back to town. They're that kind of vintage 1920s jazz group, but they're doing a spin on holiday music and Christmas tunes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So right out of the chute here, November, December, you've got three power pack performances. And you said The Hot Sardines is already sold out.
Yeah.
So now we're starting to think about January, and you've got Branford Marcellus Quartet coming the 17th.
Yeah, and that's actually sold out as well. That sold out very quickly.
Folks, this is what you have to do.
I know, you have to get early.
I'm telling you, if you're feeling a bit disappointed, you know, well, come on. Chris has been working pretty hard to
but, you know, even
all this.
But beyond that, we have, I mean, once we get past those two shows, we have a lot of shows that
there's
are available.
A lot of opening nights
There's
coming,
a lot of
friends,
opening nights
absolutely.
Coming. Yep.
Gene Robertson, I noticed, is on the 22nd of January.
Yeah, that was a reschedule from last year. She unfortunately fell ill and is coming back.
Yeah, very cool. Now, we get into the latter part of January with Tom Segura. Tell us about Tom.
Yeah, so Tom Segura is a comedian that you may have seen from his Netflix specials, Showtime. He's all over Comedy Central. And this is a collaboration between our student presenting group, Union Productions, and Opening Nights. The students came to me and really wanted to bring this comedian to Tallahassee, but didn't have all of the money to be able to make it happen. And so we stepped up to the plate and collaborated, and we're bringing this here to town. One of the fun things about Tom is actually a huge FSU football fan.
Is that right?
And so, cool. Yeah, so he's actually, I think, just as excited, if not more excited, to come here to town and to come to Tallahassee for the first time and kind of experience Seminole culture a little bit.
How did that come about? Is he a student? Or
no, I'll tell you how it came about. His best friend, Bert Kreischner, is an alum of Florida State. And
okay.
Bert is a stand-up comedian. Many may know Bert as the inspiration for the character Van Wilder from the movie.
Right.
And so the Rolling Stone article about him kind of spurred that momentum. And Bert went to school here in the early 90s.
I got you.
And so their friendship, I think, kind of made Tom a huge Seminole
football
fan.
That was the entree.
Yeah.
For those who aren't familiar with him, style of humor, would you say?
I would say raunchy and dirty.
Okay, so the kids probably aren't going to be at that one.
No, the kids are going to be
although,
at that.
Although that's the one that they
yeah,
will
that's
want.
The one they really want.
It's us
yeah.
that will not be yeah, so
it's
just, amused.
Yeah, so that's one that I would say it's rated R and above. If you're into that kind of humor.
Which really means 17 to 25
yeah,
year olds.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then we have Mark Maron.
Mark Maron, yes.
Yeah.
So Mark is known as a comics comic. Mark is probably most well known for his WTF podcast that he has. Huge stars. I think he came really, really famous with his podcast when President Obama decided to go on it. And Mark does his podcast out of his house in L.A.
Cool.
So they had to have the Secret Service sweep it and everything. But Mark's a great guy, a great comedian, has had a very successful show called Marin on TV. He's on a number of other different specials and TV shows, but really a thinking man's comic. I think someone that's going to...
A bit more provocative.
Yeah, and very, very relatable to our political culture here in Tallahassee
cool.
as well.
So we're talking about opening nights here with Chris Hecox, and we will continue with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We've got Chris Hecox with us. He's talking opening nights here. So we got as far as the end of January. If you think about the rest of the season, mm-hmm. we'll go forward this
okay.
way. Who are some of those people that you just get all tingly and you want to just like throw your skirt over your head and run out of the room kind of thing?
Yeah, so there are probably about four or five things that are really exciting to me, things that I've been excited about presenting. I would say... we're bringing the Twyla Tharp Dance Company here on Wednesday, the 8th of February. Her company starts their Florida tour here in Tallahassee, which is exciting. So they're going to be here a number of days working with our
yeah.
student. Not that
Freudian
long.
Slip.
I know.
We were hoping for
I was
such
hoping
a thing.
So.
Yeah, right.
She can relocate. A couple of days working with our students in the FSU dance department. But we just found out this week, and we'll let it slip here on your show, that actually Twyla Tharp is actually going to be coming now.
Wow.
So that wasn't going to happen originally. She's actually coming now. And so we're very excited to be able to bring her here and hopefully work to get some sort of community and yeah. student engagement with her because she's a living legend, yeah. a Kennedy Center yeah. honoree and so forth. So that's really exciting. We're very excited to bring the internationally known pianist Long Long to town.
Mm-hmm.
Long Long is just a phenomenon in not only classical music, but classical crossover and all of the humanitarian work that he does with the United Nations. Mm. So to bring him here for the first time is amazing. We're bringing the trumpeter Chris Bode here as well on Valentine's Day. And Chris is no stranger to Tallahassee. He's been here about 8 years ago for Valentine's Day as well, which is interesting. We were able to book him on the same day. Chris, for many people, probably know him as someone who toured with Sting for a number of years in Sting's band and has gone on to have an amazing career on his own. So we're really excited about bringing him here.
So what else has got you tingly?
So one that's really exciting, and I just got back from Washington, D.C. You were talking about bringing things that play all over the world and all over the country. So the NEA jazz master, Wayne Shorter, who's played with everyone from Miles Davis to to Jaco Pastores, has we developed this relationship with him to have him write this new piece of music called The Unfolding.
Okay.
And so The Unfolding is his musical composition based on the creation of the universe. That's why it's called The Unfolding. Mm. And so we partnered with the Monterey Jazz Festival in San Francisco, the Kennedy Center of Performing Arts in DC, and a jazz festival cultural institution in Poland. And so I was up in DC with the gentleman who's going to be conducting the piece here, Rick Clary, who is the senior director of wind bands at Florida State and directs the Chamber Winds. And we went up for the performance at the Kennedy Center and for rehearsals. And actually, this weekend, it's being performed in Poland.
Wow.
So to be able to work with this amazing musician, his band, and create a work that's going to come here to Tallahassee, and our students are going to be able to perform with Wayne and the quartet, and again, just to be able to bring something very special that's only being played in two other places in the United States and one other place across the world is very important to me, important to show the world, the work that we do to bring artists like this to our town. And so that's a very special
one. What's the date for that one?
That one's in April. It's on our website, openingnights.fsu.edu.
Yep.
I would love to say that I have every date memorized, but I do not have every date memorized.
That. No, yes. we're trying to hit some of the high points at this moment. And man, you're knocking them out of the park here.
Yeah.
It occurs to me, and I don't mean to interrupt your thought here, but those performances that you are bringing and have brought in the last couple of years since your participation in this effort have that sort of status where other festivals, other communities, notably achieved communities relative to performing arts, are looking in our direction. So
yes,
there's a kind of liaison, I guess, aspect to this, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Sort of
ambassadorship. There is an ambassadorship. And I will tell you a great story, and this is one that I haven't shared, but I think that it's very much apropos for this conversation. So one of the agencies that we work with in New York to bring a lot of fantastic artists to town has been one of our big champions, I would say. And and so when we do our season brochure every year, we send it out, you know, so that the artists and so that the agents and the managers can see what it looks like and all that. So this colleague of mine told me a story that the president of the company was just walking by and she was working with her associates showing them the brochure, and he goes, "Oh, let me take a look at that." So he was thumbing through it and seeing the artist who was there, and he's like, "Wow, this is great piece, you know, great piece, and amazing artist. Where is this series? Is this series in LA or is it in Europe?" And she laughed and she goes, "No, it's in Tallahassee, Florida." And again, no disrespect to Tallahassee, Florida, but you know who we are in that regard.
Right.
But the respect comes in the fact that we're bringing artists that are thought of to be performing in those markets and are performing in those markets to Tallahassee.
Right.
And I think that speaks very well. Not only for the fact, the hard work that we do at opening nights to be able to bring these people here, to be able to raise the funds to be able to do that, but also the individuals, the patrons, the people that buy tickets, every person in Tallahassee that goes out and supports this work. It's a marriage, and we wouldn't be able to bring these people here if it weren't for
I don't
those
take
people.
It as a diss of the community. If anything, it's simply saying that these places, L.A., Chicago, New York, have for themselves established that history, and we're coming to that in joining up with that league of quality and talent and notoriety.
Well, it also speaks to the wonderful and amazing staff that I have, but also all the individuals at FSU and the people in the community that work with us to be able to produce it. Because it's not only the fact that, you know, we have relationships and we have the money and we have all of those things that bring those artists here. it's not always that that brings them here. It's the relationship too. If mm-hmm. they don't, if the artist and management don't know that we can support the needs of those individuals here,
yeah.
Which are great, and a lot of times, yeah. then they're not going to do that. And so it also speaks to the network mm-hmm. of individuals we have here that are that make it possible to do the work that we do.
Do you think it's having an impact on our population at large? I mean, we're not known as that metropolitan mm-hmm. sort of mindset, right? Or known for it. And yet, this kind of contribution invites us to participate in music and mm-hmm. in performances, especially that we wouldn't have access to otherwise. And so maybe it's elevating us, do you think?
I know it is. I mean, I think if we went back to one of the first conversations that we had on this on your radio show and talked about, you know, kind of the state of where we are. And then now we look 4.5 years later in the work that we've done to build audiences. And then you've seen 2 amphitheaters being built and concerts now happening at the stadium and all these other things. I would say, yes, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris Hecox, our good friend, executive director for Opening Nights. Much success to you, my friend. Continued success.
Thank you, Brian.
We look forward to the completion of the 2016 and on into the 2017 season of this fantastic series. You be sure to check them out online, folks, openingnights.fsu.edu. You can find out all the details you need. And we'll be sure to stay in touch with Chris in the coming months, so we'll get updates as those occur. Chris, thanks for the time this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
Stay with me, folks. We got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Trucking Heart Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Trucking Heart Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Tailgating starts here at Truck and Car Concepts. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item, $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game this week with any purchase of $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts across from Kraft Nissan on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts. Everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking about all things musical today, and we've got Rick Miner standing by. He's going to talk to us here shortly about America's Second Harvest of the Big Band and what's going on over there. Interesting that in this show today we've talked already with Chris Hecox about Opening Nights. He was with us in the first hour. By the way, if you miss any portion of the show, you know that we're online. TallahasseeTalks.com, always there for you. You can go back anytime you want and listen to any show that we've archived there for you, and we archive all of them. If you don't remember the day, just search the name. If you're looking for Hecox, just do a search on Hecox on the site, and it'll bring it up. There he is. In fact, it'll bring up the most recent along with all those from shows past. And that's our way of making it easier for you. You can also subscribe to the podcast, so it'll download to your phone or your laptop, whatever you're using. That's neat. And you can listen at your leisure, you know, just tap and go. A lot of people listen to the show that way. Kind of think of ourselves as a kind of a CBS Sunday morning of radio for Tallahassee. I guess it's owing to the fact that we are in that way interested in the stories, the people that are doing very cool things to make this a very cool town. And we seem to find those folks in all different areas of activity, whether it's in science, education, politics, community activities, music, performing arts, entertainment, art, literature, education. research. We've had folks who bring to us remarkable works that they're doing, like Digitally. You know, we've had these folks with us recently, learning about how we can better communicate with a app like Digitally that was created some years ago, being revitalized, reworked to make it even more productive and more useful. So it is with arts and entertainment, I think, with you, when you have an organization like Tallahassee Community Chorus. I'm going to have Jan Smith and Randall Webster with me here in the second hour. It's a kind of magnet for a kind of rallying point, if you want. It's a centerpiece for us as a community when we have these kinds of organizations. And curiously enough, there's an interesting overlap this time of year when we are in the spirit of giving. It is the season of giving and rejoicing to have such musical performances, right? And to have opportunity to participate with something like America's Second Harvest of the Big Band. So Rick Miner talking with us here shortly about their activity. They've come through some tough times of late, and Rick is now their CEO, helping to steady that effort and doing a good job. And why wouldn't he? He's experienced in such things, been involved in a lot of organizations over the years, providing leadership, guidance, management, right? Administrative kinds of things that he has done well. So, you know, from my humble standpoint, Tallahassee is in pretty good shape. You know, we got a lot of work to do to probably to better communicate with one another about things like hurricanes. But we need the challenge. Maybe we need to care for one another a little bit more directly. Maybe we need to come together a little bit more over things that are really important, like housing and food and shelter, and well, I said housing, shelter, like education. So we have a new superintendent of Leon County Schools, Rocky Hanna. Leon County has some new leadership as well. They're going to install those folks coming up. The reorganization of the board with Leon County Board of County Commissioners, that happens this coming Tuesday, the 22nd. So it's a time of new things, new people, new leadership, new ideas, moving forward. And then you have, here's a note too from the county. Speaking of Hurricane Hermine, you have until the 28th. So that's not too far away, 28th of November. It's the last day as a homeowner or a renter or a business owner that you can register for federal disaster assistance as a result of Hurricane Hermine. So make note of that on your calendar. And speaking of Second Harvest of the Big Band, here's an activity they have coming up. Bank of America has made a generous offer of a 2-to-1 match for Second Harvest for any online donations made through Bank of America's website. You go to bankofamerica.com/give anytime between now and midnight of the 21st of November. So if you were to commit $100, well, they're gonna see you. So for every dollar donated, Bank of America match it with $2. Pretty cool. And there are some instructions there online. You want to make sure that you've included the zip code when you're prompted, because that tells them where this is supposed to go. And then you designate it for your local food bank. And it'll have some prompts there. If you will, then you email rickminer@fightinghunger.com with the amount of your contribution. And that way he can keep a running total. He's going to talk about this, about all of this with me here just shortly in what we call our Segment 6 feature. Here's a note from Tallahassee Community College. This is cool. Tallahassee Community College Adult Education Program is now accepting new students for GED preparation courses. and English for Speakers of Other Languages programs in Gadsden County. Classes start Monday, January 9th. So this is the time to register for that. It says residents can take morning GED classes at the Gadsden Center out there on Pat Thomas Parkway in Quincy, or you can take evening classes Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 to 8:30 at the Library Center in Chattahoochee. So all that's going on there. And TCC also announcing three major gifts, major awards. They're going to have this announcement coming up Monday, the 21st. The gifts are part of the foundation's $10 million TCC We Rise campaign. One of the gifts will be the largest single donation the college has ever received. Wow. It'll be devoted to scholarships and will be paid over a 30-year period. So, you want to learn more about that? That's happening on the 21st. That's coming by way of TCC. And, of course, you have at hand all of those other activities related to various charitable organizations. And I've mentioned Christmas Connection to you. Make sure that you do that. Go to helpchristmasconnection.com. You can figure out there how to be a part of contributing sizably to the welfare of families across our community through Christmas Connection. Stay with me, folks. I've got Rick Miner coming up here right after the break. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
He is the CEO for America's Second Harvest of the Big Bend, our good friend Rick Miner, and we have him with us this morning as our guest. How are you, sir?
Hi, Brian. How are you doing?
Nice to have you back.
It's good to be back.
When did you take over there?
Well, I started August 1st, so it's been about
really?
3 months, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So clearly I'm out of touch, but that doesn't surprise me. Well, so in your first 3 months, we'll say then, you've hosted a number of events. You just got through doing this big Blue Jeans Bash fundraiser and a send-off for Jim Croteau, who in his own way stepped in at that moment when his help was needed.
Yes. In April 2015, Second Harvest of the Big Bend, the previous leadership had discovered a rodent infestation in the old warehouse.
Yeah.
To the point where it had been festering for a long time, and it was beyond beyond resolution. So, Dr. Jim Croteau was hired by the board to come in and right that ship.
Yeah. And he did a good job.
He did an incredibly good job. We came very close to have Second Harvest of the Big Bend lose its contract with Feeding America, the National Food Bank Network. Had that happened, it's likely that Second Harvest would have had to close down.
And folks, when you don't know this, you might think, well, so what? The so what is that every other food assistance charity in this region relies upon the functionality that Second Harvest of the Big Bend brings. Am I right?
That's right, Brian. We have about 130 different agency partners, we call them. These are food pantries, shelters, churches, schools, other nonprofits. we work with those 130 different partners to provide food to them and their pantries so that they can deliver that food to families and individuals that are hungry. Up until now, Second Harvest for the last year and a half had been focused simply on just keeping its doors open, making sure we could keep the electricity on.
Yep.
Now that we're on some somewhat firmer footing, my job as a new CEO is to two things that I really want to accomplish. We feed in the Big Bend 55,000 people a month, but the need is twice that amount. One thing I want to do over the next 3 or 4 years.
You're telling me the need is over 100,000 people.
Yes. There are about 110,000 people in the Big Bend that are food insecure. And by food insecure, what I mean is that they don't know when or whether they're going to get their next healthy meal.
Wow.
Now, in Florida overall, food insecurity has improved somewhat. Uh-huh. The number of people that are hungry has been reduced over the last few years.
Okay.
In the Big Bend, unfortunately, it's gotten worse. So we feed 55,000 people a month. There are about 110,000 people out there that are hungry. What I want to do over the next 3 or 4 years is work with our community here to grow Second Harvest, our capacity, so that we can feed 100% of those people that are hungry. But I don't want to stop there. Because if you think about it, feeding the hungry is an essential need. If a family is hungry, they don't have the wherewithal to look for a better high-paying job. They don't have the focus on trying to figure out how they can deal with maybe a drug independent an alcohol dependency issue they might have within their family. Yeah. Getting food on the table is the first step toward normalization for a family.
And in that respect, oftentimes people in law enforcement will speak to this. People in social services will speak to this. You're absolutely right. That fundamental need for food and healthy food is it's seminal. It has to start there before you can even address some of these broader, more significant problems.
And so what I want to do as the new CEO of Second Harvest, my long-term vision is to grow our capacity so that we can feed 100% of the people that are hungry out there.
Okay.
But it's much more important than even that.
Right.
I want to focus Second Harvest on working with other partners in the Big Bend community so that we can help these folks find the help that they need to become self-sufficient.
Yeah,
I want to. We need to feed everyone that's hungry in the Big Bend, but we also need to focus on shortening that line. And second,
What does that mean? Shortening the line,
reducing the number of people that are hungry in the Big Bend to begin with.
Okay.
So, and Second Harvest is in a unique position to reach out to all those folks that really need assistance, not just because they're hungry, but also because maybe they are underemployed or they can't find a job or they've got issues with drug and alcohol or a whole host of other things, legal issues.
So you're trying to get down to the root of how in the world is it that they don't have enough food on the table? You're looking at some of that. Yeah.
Well, you know, because Second Harvest, if someone is willing to go to one of our pantries or wait in line at one of our trucks at a community center, if they're willing to wait in line to get a loaf of bread, chances are really good they need some type of other assistance too. And so Second Harvest is in a unique position to work with other partners in this community so that these folks can find that type of assistance they need to be self-sufficient. Yep. It's that whole cliche about giving a fish versus teaching someone to fish.
There we go.
It's such an old axiom, but it works in this case because it's still
true.
Meaningful with what we are trying to do.
And you've got some specific things going on here in November that we want to talk about. Tell us what's up ahead.
Yes. Bank of America has generously offered us a program where they will match 2-to-1 anybody that goes online to donate to us. So in other words, if you give $25, Bank of America will then give an additional $50 to Second Harvest. And we only have 2 more days for this. The deadline for this is midnight on Monday the 21st.
Okay.
So if you, any listeners that would like to donate to us, please go to bankofamerica.com/give.
Got a couple of days, folks, so do it today.
And then when you go to that website, enter in your zip code because it'll tell that website where to donate the funds, and then select at the bottom your local food bank.
Nice.
When you do that, your $10 will be multiplied by 3 times to Second Harvest. And just, Brian, you mentioned this before, you know, we can really stretch your dollar for the maximum impact. So it normally, if you give us $10, we can use that $10 to provide 40 meals to families because of the economies of scale.
Wow.
So I don't know of a better way you can have a greater impact on feeding the hungry and helping those that need help than supporting Second Harvest.
Tell us about the Turkey Trot. What's that
Turkey
all?
Trot.
Yeah.
Well, on Thanksgiving Day, the Turkey Trot, as I think many of your listeners know, is a huge event put on by the City of Tallahassee and other partners. And we will be there in force at Turkey Trot. So when you put your running shorts on and you get all decked out to come to Turkey Trot that day, also bring some canned goods. Any type of canned goods will work.
Dry goods,
pasta, anything that you have that's non-perishable. We will be there to accept your donation, and we'll be grateful for anything you all can do.
Fantastic.
Real means a lot to us. There'll be thousands of people out there. If your listeners can help us by going there and donating whatever they have, it'd be a huge help to us.
Folks, there you go. He is the CEO for America's Second Harvest of the Big Bend, our good friend Rick Miner, our guest this morning. Rick, thanks for being with
us. Thanks, Brian. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Yep. Stay with me, folks. I got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
October 3rd, 1863. Our nation is torn in the midst of civil war. Over 100,000 lives have been lost. Faced with the uncertainty of our survival as a nation, President Lincoln declares his faith in God, issuing a proclamation.
I invite my fellow citizens with humble penitence to fervently implore the Almighty to heal the wounds of our nation to the full enjoyment of peace, tranquility, and union.
He recalls the blessings and mercies of God in spite of our disobedience and officially declares the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise. This Thanksgiving, may we find that same gratefulness in our hearts in the midst of adversity and join together in prayer for our nation, giving thanks for our family, friends, and a land of freedom. Happy Thanksgiving from all of us at Alcom.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The season of performing arts is upon us. We are in these days celebrating all that is musical and stage worthy. And so it's a pleasure to have these folks with us this morning representing the Tallahassee Community Chorus. I have the president. Jan Smith is president of the Tallahassee Community Chorus. How are you, Jan?
I'm great, Brian. How are you?
You're looking sprightly and ready for the debut of this illustrious season of music. So we're going to learn all about that and why you're still doing this. That's another important question. And you have a young lad who has joined the ranks of this here fine organization.
Yep.
Randall Webster is the executive director, and I'm curious to find out what sort of intoxication was used to, get him to, snooker him into doing this, because now he's got to put up with the likes of people like me who just think that we are elevated somehow, right?
Right.
So let's welcome Randall Webster. How are you, sir?
Any better, and I couldn't stand it.
Good answer. So in its history, for those who are new to the conversation, bear with me for those of you who know this organization quite well. It began rather humbly, I suppose.
Yes.
Bible says, despise not small beginnings. And I think that's good, a good admonition here, because this began very simply years ago. Tell us a little bit about that history, Jan.
Well, it began as a collaboration with the FSU College of Music and 36 or 37 singers from the community, and that's how we really actually got started.
And that was when?
That was in 1986, 87.
And you were, what, like 16?
Yes. Well, I was not a part of that original group. I didn't come in until the chorus actually became an established organization in 1988. It incorporated and did all those things. The original board of the chorus decided, hey, we need to spread this thing out into the community.
Wow.
And that started in 88, 89 when Dr. Thomas became our conductor.
Yes.
And we started.
Andre Thomas.
Yes.
And, world famous, right, I should add, as right, we go along here.
And he's been with us the entire 29 years. This is our 29th season.
Who continues to talk about this stupid idea of retiring? What is wrong with it? This is no, this isn't going to happen.
Well, I mean, I.
Has he heard me say this?
Yes, he's heard you say
it,
and so have we, but he's, you know, he's allowed to retire if he needs to retire, and it will be a loss to us, but I'm sure that he will have lots of other things to keep him busy.
Well, and at the same time now, he's not going to just go away.
No, no, no.
So he'll be maybe in an advisory capacity or something.
I think he has told us numerous times that we will always be his chorus.
Yes.
So, and in his heart, we will always be that.
All right. So with the arrival of Dr. Thomas and his vision, because he is, in fact, that creative force, I think.
Yeah. We are very fortunate. It's been a great gift, I think, to those of us who love to sing classical music in this community and to the community as a whole. We continue our relationship with Florida State, and Dr. Thomas has exposed us and the community to almost all of the world's greatest choral masterworks, yeah, along with music from other genres. It's just been very exciting and great to learn all of that. And you know, we've got a huge piece this weekend at our concert on Sunday. Carmina Burana is a very great choral masterwork, and
let's
it's been great
that
to learn.
Yeah. Randall, you are new to the mix, but not new to Tallahassee. I think you've been here since, 85?
Yes.
And so you've been in and around not just the community, but performing arts, from my understanding, all the time that you've been part of Tallahassee. You've got this show coming up. What's your anticipation? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I've been to some of the rehearsals, and I think I mentioned this to Jan a while back. At the first rehearsal I went to, when you hear the beautiful power of 250 voices in sync, it literally gave me goosebumps. I mean, I couldn't believe it really was incredible. Mm-hmm. And you pair that with a full orchestra, it's a wall of sound and an incredible performance. Mm.
And in fact, when Jan, you mentioned the idea that Dr. Thomas has brought this chorus in touch with these great masterworks, I think it's fair to say, too, that he has brought the world in touch with us.
Yes, definitely.
Because this is a man who recognized globally for his contributions in choral music. And when they think about Tallahassee, perhaps now, because of this, his name and TCC, TC Chorus, comes up in that conversation.
Yes, I mean, we are internationally known, the chorus, and we've been privileged to perform in several different international venues, from China to Prague to France, and this summer we'll be going to Ireland to perform in a choral festival in Limerick. So all of this comes as a result of Dr. Thomas's reputation and his world renownedness and his wonderful teaching and great leadership of the chorus. So it's just a great experience. And for a non-auditioned ensemble, we can really knock them out of the park when it comes to some of this great
music.
I want to
say, too, that's a very good point. For those of you who would like to be a part of the chorus, and maybe you thought, man, I mean, I don't know, could I do that? Could I be a part of something so magnanimous? Absolutely, yes. I encourage you to contact the Tallahassee Community Chorus and show up. And there is a kind of a window of opportunity. As I recall, it's late.
Yes, in January, we will open our spring registration.
Yeah.
We don't audition, but we do want members to register, and there is a dues connected with their membership
there
that helps defray the cost of the music that they sing.
Sure. Okay, so did you hear that? So you don't have to audition. You don't have to stand up in front of a bunch of people, and you know, you register, and that's it.
Yeah.
And you're in the chorus.
Yep.
And I will tell you that in my experience, the chorus will embrace you, because they know you're there to sing, right, Randall? I mean, this Absolutely. Is the point.
I've seen new people come into the choir rehearsal, and they tend to get teamed up with somebody to help them along the way. And yeah. and the director, Dr. Thomas, and the assistant directors are very good about helping people when they need a little assistance. And it's wonderful.
Many of the friendships that are now, I'm privileged to say, still friends of mine, came because of the chorus. And I noticed, too, Dr. Thomas taking a lot of care, a lot of time with individuals who did need maybe a little encouragement, a little support. He's just a nice guy, right? So yes. Not only is he a musical genius and a choral master, he's just a nice person. It makes it a really fun experience. So, okay, Randall, here's the question of the hour. What the heck were you thinking? Why did you take this job? Because, I mean, you're dealing with... We're not just herding cats here. I mean, we have singing
well,
cats.
Well, we are a little bit, but
and you're really fairly new to the role as executive director, so it's probably unfair to ask you for too much in terms of perspective. But how did you come to this?
Well, for many years, I've been an affordable housing advocate and worked as a community development person. And helped people achieve home ownership, lower income families
really?
Achieve home ownership. And
I didn't know about that.
That was done in 27 communities in Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. And I worked for the state of Florida Housing Finance Agency and other
okay.
things correlating to that.
Okay.
In all those situations where we're doing community development, we always felt that the arts was an important component of that.
Ah.
You want to do a global development of that community. That means arts, scholastic, fire protection, police protection, roads and streets and sidewalks and all that stuff, parks and recreation. So in every community I worked in, the arts was a key component. And now as I'm kind of getting towards the end of my professional career years, I've decided to really focus on the arts aspect of it.
Fantastic.
And I was the executive director of the Tallahassee Irish Society for a couple of years.
Very cool.
And migrated over to the Tallahassee Community Chorus.
Yeah, we're talking with Randall Webster here. He's the executive director for Tallahassee Community Chorus along with President Jan Smith. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Jan Smith, president of Tallahassee Community Chorus, and her illustrious colleague, a man who we're just getting to know. I'm getting to know better.
Yes,
now,
very
you've
true.
You've got this show coming up. And that's on November 20th, right?
Right.
Oh, Fortuna.
Oh, Fortuna.
Yes.
Yes.
Tell us about that show. What's that all about?
Well,
we can still buy tickets, right?
Yes, you can still buy tickets on our website.
Yep.
At tcchorus.org.
Got it.
Or you can call and order tickets by phone.
Yes.
At 597-0603.
Good.
So tickets will be on sale at the door. If we don't sell out before that, tickets will be on sale at the door on Sunday, and the box office will open at 3 p.m.
Right.
Concert starts at 4 p.m. in Ruby Diamond Concert Hall.
Okay.
And we are performing the Polovetsian Dances by Alexander Borodin and the mighty Carmina Burana by Carl Orff. Both of which have been heard commercially, various portions of them. If you remember Kismet, or if you've heard Strangers in Paradise, the Polovetsian dances. And, of course, O Fortuna is the first movement of Carmina. And if you've been to any football game or athletic event or seen the commercial for the U.S. Marines or lots of commercials, that first movement with its big opening percussion and wall of sound coming from the chorus.
Epic.
Yes, it's epic, and it's been used quite a bit. So it will be familiar to a lot of people.
And by my reading here, this is based on medieval poems. Both of these works have this modern appeal, portions popularized, as you say, in various musicals and commercials. Okay.
Yeah.
So we are in flight with this performance. We're traveling back to the 12th century Russia.
Yes, we are. 12th century Russia with the Polovetsians and the celebrating the Khan, their Khan.
Yes.
With dancing and
not
singing.
Not a Star Wars character, but or Star
not
Trek
that
character.
Khan.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Ricardo Montalban has nothing to do with this.
And then we move to Carmina Burana, which celebrates everything, the caprice of fortune, and celebrates spring and love and all kinds of things. So
you got to do this.
It's amazing.
You have to do this. Do not cheat yourself for this opportunity. November 20th, 4 p.m., Ruby Diamond Concert Hall. Is that how it's referred to now?
Concert Hall.
Randall, you come to this whole thing as the executive director. You have as your responsibility then what? What is your job?
WIT, whatever it takes. And truly, there's a part of that, you know.
There's a truth in that, absolutely.
This is a huge operation, and we're really blessed to have a hardworking, hands-on board that actually does things, because there's no way one person or two people or even three people could do it. It takes 15 or 20 hardworking people to do the mechanics.
It rivals space exploration, I think,
it really
in terms
is.
Of detail.
You know, hopefully I can shepherd those areas that that need a little bit of help. I'm working on fundraising. There's quite a bit of resources needed to keep the operation going. I'm working on some communications and promotional elements because we want to make sure we sell out our shows. And also community involvement, too.
Right. So you end up then with charged with the part of the business, we'll say, that is reaching out, connecting with other organizations, advancing ticket sales, right?
Yep.
All of that side, all the promotion and PR and everything else that goes into marketing what you do, and you're working on the operational side to make sure that the light bill gets paid and, you know, the performers get paid as needed, and right?
I'm getting there. I'm still not totally immersed in things.
Okay.
I know Jan would love to hand a few more things off to me, but
I saw a couple of boxes in the back seat of her car that I'm pretty sure are going to end up in your car, but
that's
another story. You guys work well together?
I think we do. Yeah. Randall brings a different perspective and a lot of community exposure and contacts and everything to every executive director we've had has brought a little something different to the table, and he's no different in that respect. So I think we're going to have a great relationship, and it's been great so far. And he kind of stepped in the middle of everything and is still kind of getting his feet wet, but he'll be fine, and so will we. We're really looking forward to it.
Randall, you go to all the rehearsals? Is that part of your drill, or some?
I go to some. I'm not needed at all of them necessarily, but when it gets closer to concert time, we will be selling tickets. A lot of the concert or the choir members will buy tickets for their family and friends and that sort of thing.
So. Okay, so if it's Sunday morning and I'm performing that day and I wake up and I've got a sore throat, who do I call, Jan or Randall?
You actually call our membership director.
Oh, okay.
We do have somebody who handles membership.
Okay. All right.
So, yes, I mean, Randall's job is part-time, you know, on paper.
Yeah, we know about that.
Yeah, but we do, when he mentioned having a board that actually does things, we do, all of our board members have responsibilities, and we have two of them who handle membership.
Like you need this, an additional charming aspect of what you do is your partnership with local charities.
Yes.
What do you got going this time?
This time we're partnering with the Big Bend Habitat for Humanity. And they will be collecting monetary donations in the program. You can do it by cell phone. You can text a number on your cell phone and donate to Big Bend Habitat for Humanity.
That's nice.
They'll have a table in the lobby at Ruby Diamond, and a couple of their folks will be helping us out with some ushering.
I've always thought, the way in which you've partnered in years past with America's Second Harvest of the Big Bend, right?
Yep.
It's been a thing. And the thing I like about that is you always say, hey, bring a canned
food
item.
Bring a can of food. Right.
So I was thinking maybe for Habitat, I'd just bring a hammer or some lumber and just leave it there. No? Not a good idea.
I'm sure
that.
They would be happy to accept that if you'd bring it.
Take it out, Pat. Right? Yeah. Moron. So is that happening with Habitat as a result of your involvement, given your background with affordable housing?
Curious. I actually was the executive director of Tallahassee Habitat years ago for a couple of years. But that was done totally independent before I was brought on board.
Just a small world.
But I'm obviously very happy to see it happen.
No
Habitat
doubt.
Is a wonderful organization that helps people with a hand up, not a handout.
Mm-hmm.
And people who get Habitat homes have to put in so many work hours and so forth and pass a home ownership course to get in. So they're people that are very much deserving of getting that affordable housing.
Right.
Folks, I tell you, you got to stay in touch with these people. If you really want to get an opportunity to give something to yourself, and what better time of year here in November, this performance, O Fortuna. It's the 20th, 4 p.m., Ruby Diamond. Tickets are on sale online, or you can call them. And then comes the rest of the story in January and again in April. But we're going to save that for our next opportunity when we have this lovely, wonderful, devoted, long-time devotee, Jan Smith, president of Tallahassee Community Chorus, and our very good friend Randall Webster, who is their new paint still drying executive director, and we'll have medical personnel standing by. Okay, so don't worry, we're gonna spot you there, brother. Folks, make it a part of your holiday this year, and be sure that you tell your friends about it, because they're gonna love you even more. All right, so that's what we have for you this morning. Tallahassee Talks is the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the illustrious, the magnificent studios of Moose Magnificat right here in Tallahassee. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny, associate producer Andrew Rybeck. I'll be looking for you next Saturday morning, so come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
October 3rd, 1863. Our nation is torn in the midst of civil war. Over 100,000 lives have been lost. Faced with the uncertainty of our survival as a nation, President Lincoln declares his faith in God, issuing a proclamation.
I invite my fellow citizens with humble penitence to fervently implore the Almighty to heal the wounds of our nation to the full enjoyment of peace, tranquility, and union.
He recalls the blessings and mercies of God in spite of our disobedience, and officially declares the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise. This Thanksgiving, may we find that same gratefulness in our hearts in the midst of adversity, and join together in prayer for our nation, giving thanks for our family, friends, and a land of freedom. Happy Thanksgiving from all of us at Alcom.